sure they were on. I couldn't see back there. Good, wonderful Sunday morning. I am so glad to have everyone with us here at Crestview Baptist Church this morning. We are just so thankful that you came out to worship with us and to fellowship with us. And I see faces that are starting to come out, and I'm just glad to see everyone here today. It just makes my heart happy, and just makes me happy in general. Several announcements as we get started this morning. Wednesday night at 6:30, Arnie's going to be starting a new Bible study called The Harmony of the Gospels. So that sounds like interesting stuff. So look forward to you guys coming out to that on Wednesday night. And don't forget, on Wednesday nights, I am meeting with the youth. And if there are any kids that come, I will figure something out. So if you're coming and you want to come and you think we've got kids and there's no kids classes going on right now, don't let that stop you. I will figure something out. If I put them coloring a Bible storybook or something for a little bit, just glad to see you on Wednesdays. Thursday is the youth. We have another opportunity to go out and evangelize in our community. We did it not this past Thursday, but the Thursday before. We went to Palmer Park and we put on Daniel and the Lion's Den play. We were going to do it again at Palmer Park, but we are partnering with Hands On Missions, and me and Mr. Stephen Hogg and some other people, we sat down and we reevaluated because there wasn't a whole lot of kids show up. I know with everything going on, that's normal, but we found an apartment complex on Eves Road that we're going to go set up at, and I know that there are kids there. From my time working with the cable company, I know that there are kids out running around there all day long. So Thursday, be here at 10 o'clock. If you're a youth and you want to come, or if you're an adult and you want to come help out, that would be awesome too. Bring $5. We're going to pick up lunch afterwards. And then we'll eat and we'll get back here and be ready to go about, you can pick your kids up at 2 o'clock. Joy also wanted me to announce that the WMU is collecting toothpaste, right? Right, toothpaste. So those are...
Six-ounce tubes
of toothpaste. So if you get one and it's 8 ounces, squeeze two out and throw it in the thing. So... and the box is in Miss Sandra's office. So there you can drop your 6 ounce tubes of toothpaste there. Or if you put 6 ounces in a Ziploc bag, will that work? No, that won't work? Okay, I just thought maybe we bought the value size and we took a 12 ounce and used 6 ounce into a Ziploc bag. No, okay, don't do that. All right, just 6 ounce tubes of toothpaste. Just once again, thank you for coming and worshiping with us this morning. And I look forward to praising the Lord together.
What a wonderful day that we have gathered together to worship our Lord and Savior. So let's stand to begin by singing Majesty, and then we will sing the chorus two times of How Great Thou Art. Would you stand, please?
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
Good morning. It's good to see everybody here this morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us online. Just a few requests that we need to mention this morning. Remember to pray for David Webb and Nancy. They are at a different church this morning. David is preaching, so pray for him. Also, pray for Sierra Smith and her family. Sierra was coming pretty frequently until they moved to Kaser. She's the one that comes in. It's got the three little blonde children with her. But her aunt has passed away due to COVID. So please pray for that family. Also, pray for First Baptist Church of Dunellen, Florida. That's where Ginger and I were after we first got married. I was serving as youth pastor there. Just saw this morning that they have had several members in their church that have contracted the virus, and they have had to go back to online services only for right now, starting today. So please be in prayer for them. Also, continue to pray for Scott Wicker. You know, Scott has pneumonia and passed out this past week and fell and put a big old knot on the back of his head. They did a CAT scan at the hospital and sent him home. So, but he has got a big, ugly knot on his head. Larry said, that's why I'm glad I have hair. And I said, well, I don't. And I know what it feels like when you don't have hair and get hit in the head. So continue to pray for him. Continue to pray for Joe's family. They buried his sister this past week. And continue to pray for Donna Stowe and the loss of her sister. I know that she's really struggling with that, as well as June and Tara Washburn. Spoke with June yesterday, and she is still having a hard time with the death of her brother. They were very close, and he was very healthy until they found out he started getting sick and found out he had an inoperable brain tumor. And that's what he passed away not long after finding that out. So please be in prayer for them as well. Continue to pray for our church and our country. We need it more than ever. So again, thank you for being here with us this morning. And at this time, please join me in prayer. Our blessed Heavenly Father, we come before you, lifting your name on high. Lord, thank you for those that are gathered together here and those that are watching online. Dear Lord, we are come together to serve and worship you. And you tell us that if two or more are gathered, you'll be in the midst of them. So we know that you're here with us. And dear Lord, I thank you so much for the fact that we serve a risen Savior. And dear Lord, I thank you for the fact that we know that God is not dead. I can feel you every day in my own life, and I know others gathered around and feel the same way. Dear Lord, we lay everything that has been mentioned, all the requests, at your feet right now, dear Lord, asking you to give the comfort and the healing that only you can give. But dear Lord, we are in a very confusing time. It seems like every day we're told something different. Things change so quickly at this point. Dear Lord, I'm being honest with you right now. We have no idea what's going to happen this afternoon or happen tomorrow. But we know that you hold the future in your hands. We also know that you tell us that you know the plans that you have for us. Plans to prosper us and not to harm us. And Lord, we claim that promise right now. We ask you to help us make sense of all the different things that we are being told. And above all, dear Lord, you cause us to remember the fact that we are forgiven sinners, that we have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, and our names have been written down, and that regardless of what is said and done to us or toward us, we are children of the King. We are children of God Almighty. Cause us to remember that, dear Lord, in how we react to people, how we act. Dear Lord, don't let us react out of anger or out of frustration, but let us speak the truth in love, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in. And dear Lord, I pray for us that have gathered here together today, that through everything that's happened, that we give you the honor and glory for it all, and that we praise your name this morning, and that when we leave this place, that we will know that we have been in the presence of God. And we ask all of this in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our living Savior. Amen.
Hello again. I want you to draw your kids in close if you're sitting at home. And this is to the kids, but all these messages are, you know, God tells us to be like children and in our innocence. So everything applies to us as well as the kids. But before I get started, I don't want you to think this is a rerun. I know what I talked about last week. Last week I talked about rules. And this week I decided God was kind of playing and, you know, I was trying to think, well, I want to do this. And I was like, I want you to do this. I want to do this. But I decided I'd listen to God. And what I wanted to do was, since we talked about rules last week, I wanted to take several weeks and break down the rules that God gives us for our kids and for us. So I want to break down the Ten Commandments. And I'm going to do them about probably two at a time. This week, I want to go over Commandments 1 and 2. And what I'm going to read to you today comes from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And it says, "And God spoke these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments." Now, so I want you to think about that when it says don't have any other gods before you and don't have any graven images. So when I was little, and even up until my teenagers, so what I thought this meant was don't have the little Buddha statue in your house or something like that, and, you know, nothing, something else that we look at and say is God. Well, as I got older, I realized that there's so much more to it than that. There's so many things in our life that we can put before God. So kids, I want you to think about this. Is there anything in your life that you put higher importance on than God? And if there is, we need to push those things out of our life. It could be something as simple as a video game, Jonathan, or relationships with our friends, it could even be a toy we have at home for the smaller kids. So anything that we have in our life that is more important to God is covered in these two commandments. Don't have anything in your life that is more important to God. So today I want to challenge you guys this week is to go out and put God first in everything that you do and make sure you're following these two commandments. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank you for this day, for the kids and the young people who are here and who are watching at home. Thank you for your many blessings, God. And I just pray that if we have anything in our life that is clouding our vision, fogging us up, keeping us from being fully involved with you like you want us to be, God, that we push those things out of our life and we always, always, always put you first. We love you and praise you, God. Amen.
Chad and I had not talked about what the children's message was going to be and what the choir was going to sing. But the choir is going to sing, "Everything Within Me Worships You." And I want to read you this scripture. So they had asked Jesus, "Of all the commandments, which one is most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." So when we love someone, we worship them. So we're to worship God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. So when we're worshiping, to give him our all, we can't have things clouding our mind. How often are we in the worship service and we're singing, "Amazing Grace. Oh my goodness, look what she's wearing. How sweet the sound. What are we going to have for lunch?" And before we know it, the song is over and we've thought of everything except the words to what we're singing. We let things distract us. So this morning, as we worship through song, through the words, through scripture, let's give God our whole heart, our whole soul, our whole being. And then we will be able to give him our whole life in our deeds and our actions.
Yeah.
as you can see by the title of the message this morning, Wrestling with Disappointment, that we're going to be dealing with something that everybody deals with. And to prove my point, I want to know, and I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to respond by raising your hand. If you've ever been disappointed by anything in your entire life, raise your hand. Everybody has dealt with this. I know in my personal life that I have been disappointed in several things, and I have been the source of disappointment. I have disappointed my children. I have disappointed my wife. I have disappointed my parents on many, many occasions. And I have disappointed people within our congregation. We all have. And quite frankly, I am disappointed in our leadership right now as far as our governments. I am disappointed in Christians and how they're responding to a lot of the situations that are going on, because what I am hearing is not very Christ-like. Regardless of what you believe, there is a lot in our world that would cause disappointment. Well, the problem happens is that when we focus on that disappointment, you ever heard of the word self-fulfilling prophecy? Psychologists use that, and what they basically mean is that when you focus on something that has gone wrong, or that you are something is going to go wrong, that you, in your subconscious, you create situations that will continue to go wrong. In other words, if this breaks and you focus on that, then boom, 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 things are just going to keep piling up. It's a domino effect. So how do we keep that from happening? We all know people that deal with loss in their life. They lose someone that they care about. And they can't get let go of that. It could have happened 20 years ago, but if you talk to them today, they're still dealing with that. They won't let go of it. And because of that, it's affecting other things within their lives. So how do we deal with that? How do we get past that? Well, we're going to look at Scripture. And we're going to look at how we wrestle with disappointment, because it is something that nobody is immune to. Everybody deals with disappointment. Because all of us are alive. All of us live a life that is full of ups and downs, and not everything in your life is going to go right. So how do we deal with that as Christians? Well, look at Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to look at two verses in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. And if you turn there, if you'll stand as I read this. And this is what Solomon writes in Proverbs chapter 3. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Precious Lord, we come before You once again, thanking You for the wisdom that we see written in the book of the book of Proverbs by Solomon. Dear Lord, as we look at how to deal and how to wrestle with disappointment in our lives, I ask that You speak through us, or to us through Your word. And we ask all of this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as we look at this, I want to, with the idea of wrestling, I want to show you three moves that will allow us to scripturally wrestle with disappointment in our lives. The first move is mourn. Then release your disappointment and trust God to take care of it. Okay, mourn. It is okay to be hurt. It is okay to be disappointed. It is okay to have those feelings. Mourn. And then release them. Don't dwell on it. Look at what it says here in Proverbs 3:5, the very first part of this verse. What does it say? It says, trust the Lord with all your heart. It may take some time, but you must make a decision to move past your disappointment. Don't run from it. A lot of times we have people that they something happens, and instead of dealing with it, they run from it. That's not healthy. That doesn't make things better. You have to face it, deal with it, and release it. What is that saying? It's saying this. It's saying that you have to face it head on. You deal with it and then move past it. You don't keep dredging it up. You don't hold on to it. Now look at this. This word trust that's translated trust here, this Hebrew word, it actually means to lie helpless face down. Well, what good is that doing? Well, it gives the idea of a defeated soldier yielding himself to the conquering commander. So basically, you're in a battle and you're getting beat. You're getting beat to the point where you know there's no way that you can win. So you give up your arms, you give up your weapons, and you lay face down at the feet of the commander of the conquering army, and you say, I'm yours. That's the idea that is conveyed here with the word trust. Trust the Lord with all your heart. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to go before God. We're supposed to throw everything down, and we're supposed to lay down in front of Him, face down, and tell Him that we cannot win on our own. And we give it all up and trust God. That's the idea. So if we do that, we have to pray about it. Being honest with God. Now you're going to say, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. What do you mean by being honest with God? Tell Him how you feel about it. People say, well, I can't believe that you're telling people to do this. If you're mad at God, you might as well tell Him you're mad at Him. Because let me tell you a secret. God is all-knowing, which means that He knows what's deep down in your heart anyway. And you might as well tell Him and confess it and get it over with, because if you don't, then you're going to have to confess lying to Him later. So you might as well tell Him and be honest with Him, because He knows. You guys know confession is not for God to know what we're doing, right? Confession is about being humble enough to tell God what He already knows. Now think about this. All of you that have raised children, Laura, you're going through this right now, and so are we, even though ours are a little bit older than yours. Something happens at your house. Parents know what's happened. How did that get broke? You know, it's amazing how many things get broken in a house full of kids, and nobody does it. I didn't do it, or she did it, or he did it. Their fingers start pointing, but nobody's responsible for it. I have to tell you this. We have a child that has a sweet tooth that you would not believe, that loves candy and loves gum. Well, when this child, before they even got school, they got into the candy, and they would chew gum and stuff like that until the flavor left, and then they would stick it up underneath the dining room table. And I'm sitting there getting ready to eat, and you know, my belly sticks out a little bit, so I bellied up to the table to eat. And when I went to get up, lo and behold, I had gum all the way across my belly. And you know, to that day, she has still not admitted that she did that. Even though we know that she did it. It is, pray about it, be honest with God, He knows what we've done. He knows how we feel. Might as well tell him. But the thing is that by doing that, you're not letting that disappointment cast a shadow over your whole life, because you've laid it to God and you've told him and you're wrestling with it. But you can't let it stop you. And if your trust in God is true, it must be complete. What do I mean by that? Being 100% honest with him and trusting him 100% goes hand in hand. It goes hand in hand. Honesty and trust, they have to go together. If you trust God 99.9%, what does that mean? That you're still not trusting him 0.01%, which means that you are not trusting him. This is an all or nothing scenario. You either trust him 100% or you don't trust him at all. It's not, I'll trust him to deal with this 50% and I'll keep 50% of it back. Well, what are you going to do with that 50% you're keeping? Are you going to get over it? No. You got to give it up. Deal with it. Give it up right away. Take the time to be honest with God. Pray about it. Wrestle with that disappointment. But give it all to God to deal with and move past it. The second move to help you wrestle with disappointment is this. It's evaluate and adjust your expectations. Verse 5, the second part says, and do not lean on your own understanding. Now here's a question. And when you're faced with disappointment, this is what you've got to ask yourself. Am I disappointed because God failed to keep his promise? Or are we disappointed because I did not get what I wanted? That's a tough question. Are we disappointed because God didn't keep his promise? Let me ask you this question to answer that question. Has God ever not kept a promise? No. If he didn't keep his promise, guess what? He wouldn't be God. That is the part of the character of God. He always keeps his promise. He cannot not be God. It is who he is. There is no possibility that he can't keep his promise. Therefore, we are disappointed because we didn't get what we wanted, the way we wanted it. So we have to take a long, hard look at ourselves. Are my expectations, are my desires, are they what they should be? When we are disappointed, it gives us a chance to see exactly where our hope and trust lie. Misplaced hope and trust ultimately leads to disappointment without fail. What do I mean by that? That means if you put your hope and trust in me, guess what? You're going to have a life full of disappointment because I'm going to let you down all the time. Why? Because I am human and I am not God. If you put your hope and trust in the person sitting next to you, guess what? You're going to be disappointed. Because they're not going to be able to fix all the problems in your life. They're not going to give you everything that you need. And they are definitely not going to be able to give you salvation. That is only something that God can do. Does that mean that we don't trust the people sitting next to us? No, that's not what I'm talking about. But you don't trust them like you would trust God. You don't trust them to always be there. Yes, husbands and wives, you need to trust your spouse to be there when you need them. But are they ever going to disappoint you because they fail to meet the expectations? Yes. But when we are disappointed, we have to look at why we're disappointed. And we have to ask ourselves that hard question. Am I disappointed because God failed to keep his promise? Or did I just not get what I wanted? That's part of the problem in our society today. People want to think about things, and they want to apply the way we think about it to God. And that is a totally wrong way of thinking about it. Our finite minds, the only way we have to completely understand, and we don't completely understand, but the only way we can comprehend God is by applying some human attributes to Him. We talk about the heart of God. We talk about the hand of God. But God is so far beyond that, that our finite minds are not able to understand an infinite God. And because we do that, we also want to apply other things, the way we think about things. Why does God allow some people to die and some people not? Why does God allow these things? We do that to help us try to understand things, but what happens is that we develop this idea that God is like like Santa Claus sitting up there, and we tell Him what we want. And when it doesn't happen, what do we do? Well, there must not be a God. Every Santa Claus movie ever made has somebody that doesn't believe in Santa Claus. Why don't they believe in Santa Claus? Because they didn't get what they asked for. Miracle on 34th Street. After the trial and everything, she gets up Christmas morning, that little girl, and she had told Santa Claus what she wanted, or Nick, what she wanted, or Chris, I guess his name was Chris Kringle. She told him what he wanted, and that the morning they wake up after trial, and it's Christmas morning, and guess what's there? Nothing. So what does she say? Well, I guess he wasn't Santa Claus in the first place. And they said, well, why don't you believe? Because he didn't get me what I asked for. We apply that same mentality to God. But parents, I want to ask you a question. Have your children ever asked for something or wanted something and they wanted it bad, but you knew that it was something that was not good for them or that they didn't need? And so what did you do? Did you give it to them anyway, knowing that they were going to get hurt by it? No. Any good parent would not give their child something that would be harmful to them. God does the same thing for us. Does your child get upset about it when they don't get what they want? Yes. Do they understand the fact that they did not get what they wanted because it was not what was best for them? No, not right away. But I'm going to tell you something. There's been many things that I've wanted in life, and God said no. And I could not understand it then. But as they say, hindsight is 20/20. Now I can look back at it and say, okay, I understand why God said no then. Was I disappointed then? Yes. My heart was broken at that point. But the plan that God had for me was so much better than I had for myself. And I can see that looking backwards. You need to learn to place your hope and trust in God alone and not in others or ourselves. And then the third and final move is you got to get moving. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Don't wallow in disappointment. Wallowing is not productive and can actually be harmful. Don't dwell on what didn't happen or what did happen. You know, I had a football coach and a basketball coach by the name of Ken Hale. Ken, I still call him coach. He is a pastor in Michigan now. And he used to tell us all the time that a loss does not come a defeat or a failure until you make it stop letting you move forward. A loss is not a defeat unless you allow it to stop you. That is when it becomes a defeat. We are going to deal with loss in our life. We are going to deal with times that we do not get what we want. We cannot wallow in that. We have to continue to move forward. Instead of focusing on our disappointment, focus on God. Acknowledge Him in every aspect of our life. I want to share something with you. Being a pastor is one of the easiest things and also one of the most difficult things that anybody would ever be called to do. It is easy because of the fact that I am doing what God has called me to do, and I couldn't imagine doing anything else. But it is also the most difficult because we cannot react. We cannot feel the way all of you do. Sometimes we get spoke to like we're dirt, and we can't respond back to that. What's the natural tendency? If somebody attacks you, what do? You attack back. And sometimes, unfortunately, that happens. And sometimes pastors attack back out of frustration, out of hurt. So yes, that is the difficult thing. I can't go on Facebook and post how I actually feel about things because I have given up that right to do what God has called me to do. And I'm okay with that. But sometimes people misunderstand me not posting about things because they think I don't feel about those. I don't have an opinion. I do have an opinion. But it's my opinion. It's not necessarily God's opinion. So I have to be careful about doing that. But there have been times that has been very, very difficult, very disappointing. If I chose to focus on those times, I would not be able to do what God has called me to do. If I focused on those disappointments in people and those disappointments in situations and disappointment in myself, and I focused on that, I would not be able to see that. And you know what? Here's the thing. When I am focused on Jesus Christ and focused on God, it's incredible how much less those other things bother me. How much less I even notice them. But I can tell that if I am not spending the time I need to spend with God and I start losing that focus, just a little bitty thing start to bother me. And they start to get under my skin and I can feel the anger and everything else start welling up in me. But if I focus on God, those things seem to disappear. And how much thicker my skin gets when I'm focused on what I'm supposed to be focused on instead of everything else. And if it's true for me, guess what? It's true for everybody. This is not one of those things that it's just my truth and your truth. This is a universal truth. You focus on God, your problems they're still going to be there, but they're not going to bother you as bad. This is the great principle of God's response towards those who trust Him 100%. He will direct our steps in the fulfillment of His will into what is right before Him and pleasing to us. Now, I want you to understand what that is saying, what this principle is. Is if you trust God 100% and you give yourself 100% over to Him and you're totally 100% honest with Him, that it says that when you give yourself over to God that way, that He will direct your steps and He will fulfill His will in your life, and it will be honorable to God and pleasing to you. That's not saying, you know, there is a verse that says that He will give you the desires of your heart. Well, the thing about that is that when the Holy Spirit starts to move in you and starts to shape you and starts to make you into who God has created you to be, your desires of your heart starts changing. They become more and more in line with what God wants for you. And your will and God's will start becoming closer and closer together. And so your desires start changing. The King James Version, in this verse 6, it says that He will direct your paths. He will take you where He wants you to go. Here it says He will make your paths straight. What is that? Why is there a difference? It's the same thing. God's will for us is to go from birth to rebirth and to have fellowship with Him. That is His will for us. That was His will for us from the very beginning, from point A to point B. And so when He directs our steps or makes our paths straight, He has taken us from point A to point B without all these little things like this. Let's face it. We go through life like this, and I'm going to imitate Chad. Sometimes having a conversation with Chad is difficult because you'll be talking to him and all of a sudden, squirrel! You know? But that's the way we all are. We go through life and we're heading to point B, and next thing you know, we get caught up over here and we're way over here. Then we get caught up way over here. So we make this trip that's supposed to be from point A to point B, we make it like this. Just like the children of Israel did for 40 years. They wandered around. A trip that should have taken a week, they took 40 years to make. Because God had to get rid of the people that kept going like this. He will direct us. But you've got to get to the point where these little things, and some of them are big things. Let's face it. A loss of a loved one is a big deal. It is a life-altering event. But we cannot stay there. We can't stop. We've got to keep going. Yes, we have to have a time to mourn. Then you have to give it to God and release it. Then you have to evaluate, where are we? What are my expectations in my life? Where is it? How of what I'm wanting and what God wants differ? And then we have to get moving. We have to trust God and let Him take us where He wants us to be. And not just trust Him 99%, but 100%. Three easy steps. Three easily wrestling moves to help us wrestle with disappointment. And the last thing that I want to share with you is this, is that you will always have disappointment in your life. You will not avoid it. So you need to be prepared in how to deal with it. There is always going to be there. But the good news is this, is that God is always going to be there to go through it with you. You can always trust Him. You can always depend on Him. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And He will go through it with you. But you need to let Him take care of it. And I'm going to ask Sandra to come and lead us in one verse of a song. If there is something that you need to deal with today, if there's some If God is calling you to do something and you need to take care of it today, take care of it. Okay, Sandra?
Would you stand as we sing hymn number 411, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. 411.
Same time to give a complete picture of Scripture and the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. So we're going to be going through all four Gospels at the same time, looking at all the different aspects to get a full picture of what Jesus' life was like and what and his ministry. Okay, so we ask you to be here for that on Wednesdays at 6:30. It'll also be live streamed. And at this time, if I could get asked Joe McCurry, if you would mind dismissing us in prayer, sir.